We were talking about your jobs when you decided that you weren't going to stay with children anymore. And
right. The last job I had with taking care of a child was with a family where the father of the child was he was the controller of Bloomingdale's. And I told them that I wasn't happy doing what I was doing. Could I possibly get a job in Bloomingdale's? And they were wonderful people. They said, you may start there, you can stay with us until you get your bearings and you make a little bit more money and you can go out on your own. And I stayed with them probably another year. Just had room aboard and babysat for them. By that time their child was 6-7 years old, an only child. And I was walking distance to the store. It was in the East 60s. That they lived, East 70s where they lived, and I was walking distance to the store. It was really ideal. And after a year, I found a room for myself on the west side, near West End Avenue, and I stayed with Bloomingdale's, and finally ended up being an assistant buyer. I stayed there until I was expecting a baby myself, for about 7 years.
Mm-hmm. And you, when your husband came back from the service, then what did he do? You lived in New York all that time.
My husband went to school at night and worked during the day as an engineer, I mean a draftsman. And he went to City College, which he had interrupted. And he didn't quite finish in New York, he finished elsewhere. But we couldn't find housing for ourselves. Everything was very tight after the war, so we moved in with my husband's parents
mm-hmm.
in Washington Heights. And his sister lived there,
mm-hmm.
and we were all five of us. It was not always very cozy, but it worked. We lived there for 5 years.
Then you had three children.
Pardon?
But then you had three children.
We didn't have.
No, you didn't have children then?
No,
or did
no.
You
said
we
five
lived
of us.
That was his parents,
oh, his parents
and his sister.
Oh, okay.
And we had our first child there.
Mm-hmm.
By that time, his sister left and got married, and then we had a child, and we were still five. And my husband was then transferred to Chicago. And that was a good thing that happened to us, because in Washington Heights, he just sort of stayed in a clique. He just couldn't break out of it. And we did not know enough. We really wanted to get to know more American people and become more interested in what was going on in this country, become more politically aware. It was such an ingrown community. So when we left, we moved to Chicago, and we lived in Chicago for 2 years.
When was that?
To Chicago in 51.
And you lived in Chicago until?
53.
And then where did you
go? Then we came to Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh, we felt at home immediately. I just love it.
When you came to Pittsburgh, where in Pittsburgh did you
live? We lived in Shadyside on Walnut Street, in the mm-hmm. one of the apartment houses.
Mm-hmm.
And we were so happy here. Just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
And you had one child then, or?
We had one child. When we came to Pittsburgh, our child was about not little 4 1/2.
Was it boy
old,
or girl?
Boy. We have a boy for.
What is his name?
His name is Robert. We call him Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had another boy
when
on
that?
Walnut Street.
What
and
year
they,
was that?
That was in 54.
And what's his name?
His name is Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Andy then, but God forbid, don't call him Andy now. It's you Andrew.
You have two sons?
We have two sons.
And do they both live in Pittsburgh?
No. Our older son is in Boston, and our younger son lives in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Are they married?
The older one is, and the young one is not.
Mm-hmm. And they have children? The older one has two children. Lives in Boston. Children are what, boys, girls?
He has a girl and a boy.
And what are their names?
The little girl's name is Elisha, and that's spelled E-L-I-S-H-A. And she's 4 years old, and the boy is 6 months, and his name is Daniel.
What do your sons do?
Our older son is a pediatrician, and the younger son he's got an MSW, social work, and he is in charge of a emergency shelter for troubled children in Raleigh. He went to graduate school in Chapel Hill and liked North Carolina very much, mm-hmm. and stayed.
Mm-hmm. When you came to Pittsburgh and you lived on Walnut Street and you had your first child, no, you had your second child,
yes.
while you were living on Walnut Street, then obviously apartment living or whatever was not the best thing. Where did you go from there?
We came to Mount Lebanon.
You moved right to Mount Lebanon.
We are in Mount Lebanon now 30 years.
Did you come right to this house?
Right to this house.
Okay. Uh-huh. Now, tell us a little bit about your social life and your family life.
In Pittsburgh. On Walnut Street, we had a few families in the building, which we came close with. We met a family here, which was our good fortune. I don't know if you know Jack and Sarah Gordon. They were our first friends in Pittsburgh. One day after we were on Walnut Street for a week or so, we took a ride around the area to see what things looked like, and we passed a furniture store in Penn Hills. And my husband said, let's take a look and see. They look like they have things we might like. And we went in, and Jack Gordon was very hospitable. He said, my wife will call you. And I couldn't believe that anybody would do that, but she did. She called us and invited us. You have no family here. And they adopted us as their family. And from then on in, we met one family after another. It's very, very nice.
That's nice. The Gordons are nice people. When your children were small, did you join a synagogue?
Yes, we joined, throwing a blank. A reform on Sinai. Temple Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, we moved here. I think our son started going to religious school, our older son, at Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
We were only there a member for maybe a year and a half before we moved out here.
And then out here,
Temple Emmanuel.
And your children went to Sunday school, Temple Emmanuel?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Were your children bar mitzvah?
Yes. Our older son was very active in the youth group and became president of the Temple Youth Group here. He was gregarious, outgoing, while our younger son was much more withdrawn. He had a harder time mixing with kids. And although he was in the youth group and he did all the things that kids do, it was more difficult for him.
Mm-hmm. Are you still active in the temple?
My husband is. Well, he was on the religious school committee at the time. Now he is on the worship committee. We go to temple, I wouldn't say every Friday night, but at least once or twice a month on Friday nights. We never go on Saturday mornings.
Were you involved at all in temple over the years?
Myself, I belonged to sisterhood for a short time while I was working here, and then I didn't. I belonged to council for as long as I'm out here, practically. I was active in council when I wasn't working, when I was younger. And had children, I was on the board. Council out here.
You say you're working. You're working now.
I'm working. I've never worked full time. I've always worked only part time.
What do you do?
I work for an agency, a senior citizen agency that is connected the same as Anathan House is connected. We are.
Mm-hmm.
Through the Area Agency on Aging, we have the Southwest Services out here. I work.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you worked there?
Almost 10 years.
And you work part-time?
I work part-time.
How many?
I work 3 days.
3 days?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the rest of the time, are you involved in any other organizations or any other community
involvement? I was in the League of Women Voters for many years, and I'm not very active now. I'm just really... Yes, I'm active in the Southfields Interfaith Ministries. I'm interested in the interfaith meetings we have. My husband is on the board of SHIM, and he is in the interfaith division. And so I go to everything that has to do with interfaith.
And how did you get involved with that organization?
Some years ago, a man of German extraction, a German, not Jewish, called our temple and said that his father came from Germany, was very anti-Semitic, and that the son now wanted to find out why his father was so anti-Semitic. He could not find the reason, and he asked the rabbi, could he think of some Jewish people that would like to have a dialogue? Maybe 10 years ago. And the rabbi asked us whether we would be interested, and we started a dialogue with this man. It was marvelous. We had a few Jewish families and some Christian families, and all kinds of things came out of this. And then SHIM is doing something similar. When we heard about SHIM, my husband was very interested in that. My husband is the chairman of the Holocaust Observance here in the South Hills. He has now, this is the fourth year. And that is an arm of SHIM. SHIM is doing that. Mm-hmm. It's a very unusual thing that it's an interfaith observance.
Mm-hmm.
In
I've been to that observance a couple of times.
Have you out here?
It's very, it's a beautiful thing, yes. I've been out here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we are very interested in this interfaith relay and to see that there's better understanding.
And do you feel that this organization has helped in this
enormously,
area?
Enormously. Enormously. They are of great value. I can't rave enough about them. When there was this anti-Semitic outburst in Bethel Park, they were the ones who helped to smooth it out and talk it out. And they were very helpful. And they're very friendly towards Jews. The whole tenure of it is, and it now has a Rabbi Gold on the board, and they are marvelous. They're reaching out to black people, and we are very much for that.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband and I go to a lot of these meetings.
And you feel that that's helped to make relations between Jews and non-Jews in Mount Lebanon much better over the years?
I think so. I do think so.
As a Jew living in Mount Lebanon, which is not really a Jewish area, how have you felt all these years living here?
When we first lived here, I felt as an outsider. Because when we looked for a house, we came across anti-Semitic real estate people who said you wouldn't be happy in this area, and they steered us away from areas. And if they had made appointments with us, and when they saw us, they said, well, the people have changed their minds. They really don't want to sell their house.
What year was that? 30 years ago?
In 50. We started looking out here in... No, wait a minute. So we came out here in 57. No, not in 50. We started looking in 55 or 6, looking for a house here.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I distrusted people. For instance, the way we've come a long way. When we first had Hanukkah here, everything was done very quietly. Now the menorah is in the window every night, and I'm proud of it. And I'm just more sure of my being Jewish. Whoever wants to hear it, doesn't want to hear it, I make sure they know I'm Jewish. And I feel very much at home now.
You feel the whole neighborhood is changing that way today? Your neighbors, your friends feel this way here?
I don't think, you know, the anti-Semites in Mount Lebanon, you go anywhere, you find them,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think many more people have moved out here, more vocal. There's more in the papers about Jewish activities. I think it has changed, much changed over the years. that basic grain of anti-Semitism, you always, as a Jew, you always have a suspicion of some people. But I've been feeling it is going to something that's going on in a church. I feel at ease about going there and meeting people.
Socially, though, most of your friends out here
are Jewish.
Jewish.
Absolutely.
And you have, do you have any social contact with your non-Jewish neighbors at all?
No, only on a neighborly basis, no. Not really.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we speak about it, it's brought home again how you still, you have some non-Jewish friends.
Mm-hmm.
We have maybe one couple moved away. They were with good friends. We have one family we're very close with. And they're lovely people.
Now when you go on vacation, you will would plan vacation with mostly Jewish couples.
We don't go away with people. I don't like that kind of a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't enjoy going away with other people. I like some privacy, and I like to be with my husband, and we like to explore places. When we go somewhere, we don't like to go to places that where you sit and are waited on. We go to places where you walk, where you get impressions. We like nature. We don't like fancy places. We don't like that kind of vacation.
Within the United States or outside?
My husband worked for Coppers, and that wasn't exactly a Jewish-friendly
mm-hmm.
company.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, he traveled a great deal. He traveled first to South America. He was away a lot when our children grew up. I was away a lot alone with them. He was away sometimes. The longest time he was ever away was 7 weeks in Colombia, South America. Then his travels shifted from South America, and he went to Spain for many years. And he was in Spain at least 6 times a year, and I went with him to Spain. And there you find anti-Semitism,
mm-hmm.
boy, believe me. And that was, I never went back to Germany. I would not set foot into that country. Absolutely not. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I would go around it. We were in England together. There were some business trips. I've gone with him to Mexico. We took one pleasure trip, and that was the trip of a lifetime. We went to Paris just a year and a half ago. And even though France has its anti-Semitic side too,
mm-hmm.
where do you go?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that was nice.
Have you ever been to Israel?
Yes. Our 25th anniversary, we've celebrated in Israel. That was the highlight.
That's very nice.
That was the highlight.
When your children were younger, did you take your children with you when you went on vacations? Did you have family vacations?
We did not travel very much when our children were. My husband was on trips a lot, and I couldn't go with. I wouldn't leave my children alone in care of other people. I had no relatives here. I would not. This is a great regret of mine. I could have gone to many more countries, but we didn't want to leave the children with other people. So I stayed home with them.
Mm-hmm.
When we did take vacations, we'd go on trips to areas around here, go down to Williamsburg, we'd go to upstate New York, nature, mostly nature kind of vacations, Cape Cod.
Those are the best kind of
yeah.
vacations as
yeah.
far as I'm concerned. How would you say your children were raised in contrast with the way that you were raised? What advantages or disadvantages did you have or did they have?
I had no youth.
Say?
I don't remember anything really wonderful because, first of all, we lived in a small town. There was not much social life. Trouble started right away in school. As soon as I had some consciousness of what was going on, I was ostracized in school. So that was horrible. Didn't have many cultural advantages. None, really. If you went to the big city, we went to a museum now and then, or to a movie in this big city once in a while. But our children had every advantage. I mean, our children are raised in the reform. I never really felt at home as conservative, even as a child. When I went to synagogue with my parents, I was supposed to look at a book, I'd have another book to read. I didn't enjoy it as much. The Reform Judaism appealed to me because it was in state of flux. You could do what you really liked and be free of what you wanted to do. So that I enjoyed very much. And so that's how our children grew up in Reform. We have all the holidays with the children. We light the candles. We started lighting candles. My husband's parents didn't do that. But as our child was born, our first child was born on a Friday. And my husband went out and bought candlesticks on that day. And from that day on, we have never missed making a Friday night service if we were at home. Lighting candles and saying the broth over wine and the bread and and the holidays and of course the high holidays and those were our lives.
Do your children observe the same things as you do?
Our older son was a rebel. He went to the University of Wisconsin in the 60s and everything establishment was out at the time. He was in the foreground of rebelling against everything. And then he went to medical school. He had a trauma in his life. He married and his first wife took her life. And he is now, he's remarried. We were very fortunate. We have a most wonderful, wonderful woman come into our family. And she is leaning towards conservatism, although they belong to a Reform temple in Lexington. He is doing all the things that I thought he would never do. I mean, we're so happy. I mean, this little girl, there's a picture of her lighting the candles for Shabbos. We are thrilled, absolutely thrilled. Our younger son has a little more difficulty. He feels that religion serves to separate people rather than bring them together. He had a very difficult time. He went to religious school, he went to have bar mitzvah, he was confirmed. He did all those things and feels very Jewish ethnically, but does not feel at home with prayer or temple or synagogue. But he lives in Raleigh, North Carolina, where there's a great community. And he, for a time, started the Jewish Family and Children's Service there. 2 years ago, he worked part-time there to get it started. And liked that very much. He isn't alien to anything Jewish, but he is alien to ritual prayer. He finds that difficult.
Well, I suppose it depends on if and when he might get married sometime. That might change. Do you think that your children were at a disadvantage growing up here in Pittsburgh because both you and your husband were European? Did they ever feel that way or voice that?
That came out much later. I tell you, that is a very interesting thing. When our children were growing up, our older son never asked any questions. I told him some of the things. He knew I was very sad at times and cried and talked about it, but he never asked any questions. Our younger son could not ask enough. He wanted to know about my family, and he wanted to know about everything in my youth. And our older son never asked, and it saddened me. And one day, after the sad loss he had, he came home one day, and he talked. We had a long talk, and he said, "You never asked." He says, "I couldn't ask," he said, "because you were always so sad, and I was afraid to ask that if I asked a question, I would make you sad, and so I never asked, and there are so many things I would like to know." And then he started reading up on a lot of things, and it was just like a reunion with him, you know? And we are so close now, and thinking at a time that it was disinterest. But he said, "I was afraid to rock the boat." And he often says, the two of you, you can never touch anything without something thrown in from what used to be. Sure, there is something like that. I mean, they're not free of that. They have that baggage that we brought with us. And we don't want them to forget. I mean, who's going to remember? Mm-hmm. If the children don't. So we are hard-hitting on that. We want them to, and they do it now on their own. Our son in North Carolina attends the Holocaust observances, and he does this all because we're a very close family. There's a great love between us. Mm-hmm. And he does it out of reverence for us, but also out of knowing. Are we at the end?
No, we still have a little bit.
We still have a little bit on this tape. We touched on a lot of things here. How do you feel about your own accomplishments in your own life? Do you feel that you've made a success of your life? And how do you feel about that?
It depends what your definition of success is. And I've thought about this many times. I'm looking for a word which doesn't come to me right now. I don't have a career, that's what I'm looking for. I'm not a career-oriented person. My family is the most important thing to me, and the children and now the grandchildren. Success I feel I've made in my contact with human beings. I love people. I give of myself. This is something you don't see as an accomplishment. You feel it in the feedback you get from people. You get loving feedback. And that's why I like my job so much. I work with older people. And because my own parents aren't here, I transfer that feeling to them, perhaps. Mm-hmm. I have an empathy for their getting older, for their loneliness that they might have. My husband's mother lives here. She came after my father-in-law died, and she lived in Squirrel Hill. She's lived here now for 14 years. And I'm like a daughter with her. My husband has a sister in Florida, but we are her only family here. And she lived on Darlington Road in a lovely little apartment until she had a stroke 2 years ago. And now we had to give up her apartment. It was very painful for her.
She had a small little apartment on Darlington Road.
I bet you
know
where it is.
Exactly where it is.
Yes, I'll tell you.
Because my mother-in-law lived there. But we can't put all of that on the tape.
Okay.
We have to wait for that until later. What's your mother-in-law's name?
Toni Meyer.
Toni Meyer. And she came here from New York after her accident?
Yes. After persuading her, she wasn't well. She didn't want to come for the longest time, but we finally persuaded her, and she was very happy up there. It was such a congenial neighborhood. Everything within a walking distance, but 2 years ago she had a stroke. And she wasn't well long before that. She had many illnesses, mm-hmm. while she's here. She's been a very ill woman. And we were going back and forth all the time. Every Sunday we spent together, and every Wednesday, my day off is Wednesday, I spend with Mom, and I do today.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I have an appointment with her to take her somewhere. So she is now in a personal care home in Mount Lebanon, where there are only 3 people. It's a lovely place. And Mom is now going to be 88 years old, and I'm very attached to her. Very.
Mm-hmm. I can understand that. So obviously you're satisfied with the way that your life has evolved.
Yes, I feel very rich, very enriched by the love of my family, by the love of friends, by the love of people that I've touched in one way or another.
Do you ever think about how different your life might have been if Hitler had not come along and if you had stayed, you know, in this little town? How different your life might be.
Not fleetingly, but I've never really given much thought, because there's no sense in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't give much thought.
When you first came to Pittsburgh, how would you view Pittsburgh today, is with the way that Pittsburgh was when you first came here? Do you think there's much change socially or politically or?
I think Pittsburgh has changed culturally a great deal. We had no theater at the time except visiting groups. There's more musically happening here. Maybe I've become more aware. When I first came to Pittsburgh, I was very busy getting organized, and my husband traveled, and I was with the children. And as I got older and more independent, I found that there's so much to do in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is such a friendly town. I loved it from the moment we came here. I love it. I love Pittsburgh. I don't even think it's so pretty. You know, it's not such a pretty town. You go downtown and there are sections that are absolutely ugly. But I love Pittsburgh. It's home. It's home to me. I've never felt at home anywhere as much as here. Living in New York, no way. In Chicago, we weren't there long enough. I love it.
How do you view Jewish life here in Pittsburgh?